for the price that you paid for each of us. That you have made a place, you prepared a place for us all to go before you. And fathers, we've been watching the news media over the last few days. We know we live in a broken world. We know that there is evil in this world. But Father, we trust that you are still in control, that you are stronger, that you are more powerful, and that you will be returning to set things right. So Father, let us trust in you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got a new song, I think, for you. I hope you pick it up real quick. Here's how it goes.
Yours will be the only name that matters to me. The only whitest favor I see. The only name that matters to me. Yours will be
to that day. We will come to face with our Maker. But until that day, we invite Him into this place.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. I'll bring you more.
I'll bring you more than heaven's song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
I was coming back to you.
Came to this earth, you stepped out of glory, You paid a debt that we could not. It's through your sacrifice, the sacrifice of the perfect lamb, that we are covered in your righteousness. And I hope, Father, that we can truly say that we will be able to sing of your love forever. We look forward to the day to be in your presence face to face. And hear that still small voice calls out to us to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Meet us here now. Let us hear what you have for us today. We welcome your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Turn around and greet someone this morning. Say hello to someone. Give someone a warm hug. Maybe a high five or fist bump. Find some of your old friends and try to meet some new ones as well. Welcome this morning to Church at the Beach, and I just want us as the body of Christ and those of us that are here this morning just to thank John Delavan this morning again for leading worship, for Davey being out of town, and I don't know about you, but I felt like that was just so anointed this morning. Felt the Holy Spirit in my heart as we worshiped Him and praised Him this morning. And wow, that's what the service is about, just bringing ourselves before Him. So thanks again to John, and I just want to welcome you this morning. If you will, pull out your bulletin or program, and there are some announcements on there, and I'm not going to go over all those, and we have an announcement video in a moment. If you would look towards the back, and if you're visiting with us, there's a place for you to put in or to place your prayer request in. And at the end of the service, when we take up our tithes and offerings, please feel free to place that in the offering baskets for us. So I'm going to ask right now if Kendra, if you'd bring down the lights, and let's show this announcement video this morning.
Hi, I'm Jen. Welcome to Church at the Beach. I'm going to tell you what's happening so that you can take your next steps. First, this Saturday we have our volunteer appreciation event at Hiles Beach Access on Saturday, November 21st. We would like every volunteer who has ever been involved in ministry in any form at Church at the Beach to join us for a night to reward you for your hard work and dedication. There's a bonfire, music, laughter, dinner under the stars, and holiday portraits for your family. But we need you to RSVP today. Next Sunday is Shoebox Collection Day. If you are participating, please bring your boxes back to church with $7 shipping. For those of us who have been shopping all year, the courtyard is full today of extra prizes that you can take for free to help fill your boxes to the brim. Take a look, pick them up, stuff them in your boxes this week, and bring your boxes back next Sunday. Let's talk about Christmas for just a second. This is a season where we're reaching into families in our own church. If you need help this Christmas, or you know of another family in our church who could use help this Christmas, you received a form in today's bulletin. Take a look. Nominations are anonymous. Fill out the form, drop it in the offering at the end of the service so we know who we need to help this year. December 5th, we are participating in the New Smyrna Beach Christmas Parade. A float committee is coming together now. If you'd like to participate, use the tear-off today. We need 35 families to donate 4 dozen cookies each and individually wrap them so that we can hand them out in the parade. We will provide the plastic bags and the invite cards, and you can pick those up starting next Sunday at the Next Step table. Now that you know how to take your next step, fill out the tear-off card in the bulletin today and drop it in the offering at the end of the service.
Yes. I think she does such a much better job than I do, and she's definitely a lot prettier than I am. And if you're visiting with us, that is my wife. So if you're single, I'm sorry she's taken. It's just amazing. I don't think I've ever seen a pastor that doesn't have a beautiful wife. And that's, I think, one of the benefits of being in the ministry, that the Lord blesses us and we're able to marry up. At least I am. So, and it's not just because I'm short. It's because she's beautiful. Well, welcome everyone this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we've been in a series on Elijah's life. And we've been telling his story and then taking that story and relating it to us in our lives and pulling out things that he has gone through. And hopefully it's helped each and every one of us in our lives with our spouse, our families, and those that we've been around. I'm going to begin with a story this morning to help introduce Elijah. And it's a story that happened in my family. I was shuffling some papers, and just before I walked into the room, I heard my wife, Jen, say to my youngest son, she said, "Clay, would you go get Mom some water?" He said, "Sure, Mom." And as I was walking in, he went, grabbed her a glass, poured the water, and I turned around to do something on my computer. And when I turned back around, he was leaned up against the wall and he was drinking the water. And I said, "Clay." "Yes, sir." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Nothing, just drinking water." I said, "Son, you need to refocus for a minute. Are you supposed to be drinking that water?" He said, and I know what he was thinking. He was thinking, "What's wrong with me drinking a glass of water?" And then the light bulb went off, and he said, "Oh, it's Mom's." And he started to walk towards her office, and I said, "No, no, no. She doesn't want your water that you've consumed and drank out of. Go back, get her some more water, and then take it to her." And he said, "Okay, Dad." And as I was thinking about that story, I thought, there are so many times in our lives that I think the Lord is saying to us, you know, proverbially snapping his finger, the Holy Spirit in our heart saying that we need to refocus, that we need to return, that we need to realize at this moment in our lives that we need him. Because it's so easy for all of us to get caught up in our own lives, in our own path, doing our own thing, that we just absolutely forget, like my son did, that the water was for her, that we forget that he is our Abba Father. He's our dad, our Savior, our Lord. And I believe he's saying to us, just like he said to Elijah, as I'm concluding this series this morning, you need to refocus on me. On me. And all that that entails in our lives, in our hearts, and as we walk with him. So, as we dive into the story of Elijah, so many amazing things has happened in his life. Right, if you've been with us during this series. I mean, so much, so many things, a myriad of miracles have happened all around him. He approaches the king, a new king, Ahab, and says, it's not going to rain. And it didn't. Then the Lord sent him to the desert to have a special encounter with him. Not only to spend time with him, but to be fed by the ravens. And he was fed by them. Then the Lord sends him to Zarephath, to the widow there, and provides for them supernaturally. Then he prays, and the widow's son was resurrected. He was dead, and God brought him back to life. All of these miracles that took place with Elijah. Then he says to him, okay, 3 years have passed. Now go back before the king and tell him it's going to rain. But there's a surprise that we have for him, for the king and Jezebel, because the Bible said that they were continuing to do evil in the presence of the Lord. So Elijah has a surprise party for them, so to speak. And God rained down fire from heaven. And everyone in Israel saw that. And then the false prophets were slain. And then Ahab tells Jezebel about all of these things. And she sent a messenger. And that's what we talked about last week. And this messenger said to Elijah, just as those prophets were slain, you are going to be killed by me, meaning by her soldiers. And Elijah handled that the way many of us handle things that happen to us in our lives. Fear gripped him. The word says he became afraid and he ran for his life. His first reaction was fear. We talked about that last week. Then he ran. Then he wanted to die. He lay down under a shade bush and he said, Lord, take my life. I've had enough. He was exhausted and weary. And what did the Lord do? The Lord did not judge him. The Lord didn't even really rebuke him at that time or correct him. The Lord fed him. And we talked about his wonderful grace in our lives, his grace and his mercy that fills us. And that's what Elijah was experiencing. Then the Lord said to him, Elijah, why are you here? What are you doing here? I've been with you every day, all the time. And that's his word to us. He's been with us, and he wants to continue that relationship. And then he said to Elijah, I have somewhere for you to go. And I know Elijah had been wanting to hear that. He had been wanting to be restored. He wanted to know what was next for his life. And that may be speaking to you this morning. You may want to know what is next. You may have questions. You may have been praying about something for a long time and wondering, when's my answer coming? Or maybe you've run away. Maybe you haven't prayed in a long time. And that's why I believe this is a moment of reflection and a time to refocus in our lives. And that's what's happening with Elijah. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along with me, and it will also be on the screens behind me, we're going to be in 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 11. 1 Kings 19:11. The Lord said, and he's speaking to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of me. For the Lord is about to pass by. So the Lord shows up to Elijah, but he doesn't tell him what is next. They are having a moment together. But the Lord says to him, I want you to go to the place that I'm telling you about. And there I will speak to you. There I will give you instructions. It says, and this is so important, so this is going to be the meat of the message this morning. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. So three things have just taken place: wind, earthquake, and fire. And I want you to take notice when you're looking at that passage, when you're looking at the word in this story in Elijah's life, that these are three outward things. Wind, because when the wind came, he could not only feel it, but there was a great shaking that took place that he was able to see. And Elijah, when that first happened, was expecting the Lord to speak to him right then, but he did not. Then there was an earthquake that Elijah was able to see, and he was expecting the Lord to speak to him, but the Lord did not. Then, in irony, there was fire. And if you've been with us, Elijah just had this amazing fire that fell from heaven, and it showed everyone that he was God's prophet and that God still reigned in Israel. But fire came. And so Elijah waited with that same expectation that he had earlier, but nothing happened. Three outward things. And I believe that's symbolic for us in our lives as well, because those things were visually stimulating. He felt them and saw them. Things were happening. Those things were exciting. And so as Elijah was experiencing them in his life, he waited and he thought the Lord was going to speak to him after each one of those. But he did not. Because I believe that he was teaching Elijah something so important to him at that moment, and also something for us that should be and should become so important to each and every one of us. So here goes. Verse 12. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. I love that. The still small voice of the Lord. That is when he spoke. He didn't speak at any of those other things. And that doesn't make sense, because it would seem like he should have. That's the way I would have planned it. I mean, you have someone's attention when you have a wind that comes by that begins to knock trees over, and then an earthquake, and you really have their attention with a fire out of nowhere. It reminded me of the burning bush when the Lord appeared to Moses and gave him his call, his purpose, and said to Moses, "I want you to go because I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm going to set them free." So fire was significant. And believe me, Elijah knew the story like the back of his hand, the story of Moses and how God delivered his people. But God did not show up in the fire. He shows up with a gentle whisper, his still small voice, because he was drawing Elijah to him. After the disarray that had been in Elijah's life, after everything he had experienced, the Lord was drawing him back, refocusing him, in essence saying, "Elijah, the water you're drinking at this moment is not for you, like what happened with my son." He said, "Focus. I'm here. It's about me. It's about me in your life. And yes, I will direct your life. Yes, I will lead you and guide you. I will let you know what is next. I will bless you, but not in the way that you are expecting. So Elijah had to listen for that still small voice. I heard a true story that I really liked, and I thought that it added to this story in Elijah this morning. Back when the telegraph was the only true means of communication, so that's a long time ago. Back when that was in operation, the owner of this telegraph company was going to hire one person, and jobs were scarce. True story. So there were so many packed into the waiting room applying for this job. Everyone wanted this job desperately. And there was kind of chaos, you know, controlled chaos going on in that room because there were so many. Conversations were happening. Everyone that was applying could look out the big window and stare at the passersby, looking out, seeing what's happening outside, hearing what's happening outside. So there was noise going on, just like with Elijah. Noise, busyness. Does that not speak to our lives? And in the middle, in the midst of the noise and the controlled chaos in this room, you could barely hear it. There was a tap, 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 tap. And one of the young men stood up, walked into the offices. The secretary trying to stop him, but he pushed through. And there the owner was. And the owner looked at him and said, "Welcome to my company. You get the job." And there was an uproar in the waiting room, and everyone was like, "What? Why does he get the job? He was rude. He just pushed himself through and broke in line. It wasn't his turn. I was here first." And the owner came out, put up his hands, and said, "I will tell you why." He said, "As all the commotion was happening out here, I sent a message from the telegraph. And if you were listening, the message said, the first one to get up, come into my office, gets the job. And this young man did exactly what I asked him to do." You had to be listening. Everyone had the same opportunity. Everyone was going through the same busyness and the controlled chaos and all of the chatter, but only one was listening. And the Lord, in essence, was saying to Elijah, "Elijah, I am speaking, but I'm not speaking maybe in the way that you want me to. I'm not speaking in this big outward situation and circumstance that you've been living in, which was wind and earthquake and fire." The Lord said, "No, I am trying to refocus your heart. I'm trying to get you to return to me, because without me, that's when fear sets in. Without me, you want to run. Without me, you say things like, 'I'm giving up. I'm not going on. I'm weary. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I feel like so many have wronged me, and I'm carrying that on my shoulders.'" And the Lord is saying to us, "Don't you see? It's not about you in this moment. It's about me. And it will end up about you, but only when you come to me and listen to my still, small voice. In the middle of your controlled chaos, in the middle of your busyness, in the middle of this life that we've created that is so active and busy. I mean, have you taken notice of the culture that we live in, that we are never away or by ourselves? Why? Because of the cell phone. I mean, isn't that crazy to think about? I mean, for those of you that remember those times, and I barely remember because, you know, I'm still really, really young, but for those of us that remember those times without cell phones, could you imagine taking that phone with you when you went fishing, you went to see grandma, you were going to eat dinner with your family, that you took that phone with you right there so anyone could get you at any moment and you could look at that phone and read those texts and begin to text back? We're never left alone. Wind, earthquake, and fire demands attention. It demanded attention from Elijah saying, listen, look at us. As Elijah was carrying around all of that stress and worry and fear. And the Lord showed up in none of those. The Lord showed up in that still, small voice. Because the Lord is asking us to come away with Him. He's asking us to spend time with Him. But it's so difficult for us in our culture. But that's what He was saying to Elijah. And the point is this morning that the Lord still speaks. And He still wants to speak to us. He's calling us into those times of devotions. The times when we're alone with Him and we open up His Word. And we read and study it. And we're in prayer and we say to Him, I'm here. I've shut out the wind. I've shut out the earthquake. I'm not seeing the fire. I'm withdrawing to my prayer closet or wherever that place is that you spend time with Him. And I'm seeking you, Lord. That is what He's asking from us, because that is what He wanted from Elijah. I mean, when we look at that verse 11 and 12, so just look at that quickly with me again. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. And that's when it happened. Let's look at 1 Kings 19:15. 1 Kings 19:15. When that gentle whisper happened, that still small voice, and Elijah heard the Lord and what He had to say. In verse 15 it says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Because remember from last week, fear had gripped him and he ran. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. A time of refocusing in his life. And go to the desert of Damascus. And then he explains to him further what is next. But Elijah would have never heard that. He would not have known what was next for him if he didn't listen. If he didn't have that communion with the Lord that the Lord desperately desires from us. And I don't know what it will take from us in our lives for us to be able to truly commune with Him. That scripture from David in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still, be quiet. Shut out the wind and the earthquake and the fire for a moment and come to me. And I know it's not easy because the wind and the earthquake and the fire are exciting. Those are exciting things that are going on. But the Lord is drawing us to Him, His presence. And He's saying to all of us that in our relationship with Him, parent, child, father, son, father, daughter, in that relationship, we need Him. We need Him and He needs us. And what will it take in our lives to finally withdraw and go before Him and say, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm going to be here every day with you. And I'm asking you, through our relationship, with that still small voice, to speak to my heart, to speak to me, because I'm in need of you. And this reminded me of the story that Jesus dealt with in John chapter 6. And when you're having your devotion, if you want to jump to John chapter 6, but this amazing thing takes place. Really, one of the greatest miracles happened in this chapter between the Lord and His people. The greatest miracles over Lazarus, over the water turning to wine, over the healings, because those things affected a small amount of people. But this one affected over 5,000. And whenever the Bible mentions 5,000, it's really focusing on the men. And it's leaving out or ignoring the women and children. They didn't count them at that time. So we're talking about 8,000 to 10,000 people, maybe more, depending on how large the family was. And Jesus, if you remember this story, took a few bread and fish and He fed everyone. That was an amazing thing. And people were blown away at this event. I mean, can you imagine that? They experienced this firsthand, this miraculous miracle. And then Jesus withdrew. He withdrew to spend time by Himself even before He went to be with the disciples. Because He knows, even in the community of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're always, always in community together. Always communing together. That's why it's so important for us to be with one another as the body of Christ, small groups, etc. And that's why it's important for us to spend time with Him. So He withdrew, and a certain amount of them followed Him, tried to find Him. And when they found Him, an amazing thing took place. The exchange that they had with the Lord. And when you read it and study it and you take the moment in that happened in John chapter 6, it's mind-blowing. Because Jesus turned to them and said, you're not seeking me because of the miracle you saw. That doesn't even really make sense to me. I thought He would say, practically speaking, you're only seeking me because of the miracle. That's not what He says. He says, you're not seeking me because of the miracle that you saw and the one who gave you the miracle. You're seeking me only because you ate and you're full and you're wanting to eat and be full again. Wow. Wind, earthquake, and fire. He said, you're only seeking me because of something that you think I did for you. I fed you. And then He turns to them and says, I am the bread of life. And they said, what must we do to do the work that God requires? And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe on the one He has sent. So Jesus said to them, I am the Messiah. I'm the one, and you need me. That's what He told Elijah. That's what He's saying to us. Trying to get us to refocus in our busyness, that it's about Him. And they said one of the most shocking things, if you read that, it's just unbelievable. They turned to Him and said, what will you do so that we may believe that you are the Messiah? I'm thinking, really? You're so hard-hearted. He just did it. He just fed you and your families. Close to 10,000 people were fed with practically nothing, and yet they didn't even care about that. It's what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me right now, not yesterday? I want wind and earthquake and fires. I want you to show up in amazing ways in my life, Lord. Then I will come and be with you. And I thought, how sad. How sad. And so what he's saying to us this morning and what he said to Elijah is that he is the answer. He's the answer that we need. He is the one. I like what it says in Galatians 3:3. Paul to the church at Galatians says, "Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit that you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" Wow. Through Christ, Paul is saying, you once had a love for me. You once were so diligent, like when you first met your spouse or you first went out with someone that you were trying to impress and you wanted that relationship. He's saying you first started out so strong with me where you were spending time with me, where you had devotions and I was included in that and we had this special relationship. But now you are turning back and you feel like the water is only for you. Like my little son, or you're asking, Lord, what will you do for me so that I may believe? And the Lord would say to us, I went to the cross for you. I suffered and died. Then I rose again, and I offer you grace and love that only I can give you. Now come to me. Come to me. Because he desires that relationship. I'm going to conclude with this last story that just happened to me this week. I was speaking to a good friend from Georgia. He's a police officer right outside of Atlanta. And we not only grew up together, but we were neighbors just before we moved here 4 years ago. And after we moved, they sold their house, and then he moved to another location. And he was telling me during that conversation how he was suffering. He'd been there for 19 or 20 months, and he said, Ken, I am miserable, and we're lonely. And he said, I just feel like I missed it. Because he said he didn't hear the gentle whisper. He didn't come before the Lord like he knew that he should have. He said he was so caught up in the wind and the earthquake and the fire. He was so caught up into the increase in pay and maybe being able to move up the line of command quicker because it was a smaller precinct. All of these things, these outward things, he said he and his wife were focusing on. And he said they gave so little time to the Lord. So little. And I know the whole time the Lord was saying, I am here. The gentle whisper, that still small voice. I just don't give that to Elijah. It's for you. Matthew 6:33, seek me first in the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be open unto us. The Lord is constantly saying, come to me. I know life is difficult, he would say. I know it's loud and busy. And I know there are times you come before me and you don't hear anything. You don't think that I'm present with you because there's not wind, there's not earthquake or fire. There's just quiet. But like that small tap, 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 tap. He is there, desiring that relationship with us, wanting us more than anything else in this life to desire him, to be with him. That's his heart. That's what the Lord wants from us. So I'm hoping this morning that we can learn from Elijah, that we can learn from him that the Lord is in the gentle whisper, and he wants us in that relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, we come before your wonderful presence, and we give you the glory. We give you the praise. Forgive us of our sins, dear Lord. Forgive us of the things, the times that separate us. Forgive us sometimes for our emotions and the things that cause us to drift from you. Forgive us for our unforgiveness that we're carrying around us. Forgive us for judging others and being so critical and unkind when sometimes we just refuse to look at ourselves. And you have so much you want to share with us. So, dear Lord, please don't stop drawing us, each and every one of us, to you. Draw us this morning. Help us to make a stand today. Help us to make a stand to kneel in your presence. And as every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I present every Sunday a call, a special call, and I believe it's the most important call that you will ever receive in your life. I made this call to the youth group on Friday night at Justin and Jenny's bonfire, and we had someone accept the Lord as their Savior. And this is your moment. Just like the Holy Spirit will move on a child's heart, he's moving on yours. And so if you feel him this morning and you've never made that commitment, you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, I'm presenting that before you this morning. And just like I do every Sunday, I'm just going to ask you to do a simple thing, to put your hand over your heart. This is an act of submission between you and the Lord. And you're inviting him in, like Paul says, to the church in Corinth. He says, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us. We become the temple, his dwelling. So when you make this decision this morning, as your hands on your heart and you're about to pray this prayer, it must be from you. It must be your words. You're making the commitment. And then everything changes. You become his and he is yours. And then you come before him and you begin to hear that still small voice. And you begin to commit yourself to him. So for all of you that are putting your hands over your heart as an act of surrender this morning, as I'm praying, I'm going to ask you to pray, to take this moment to pray and make this decision for Christ. Dear God, I come before you this morning and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I come before you, Jesus, knowing that your word says, when I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I just give you my past right now. Forgive me. And I'm inviting you in my heart for this new journey, this new life that I will have. So right now, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, dwell in my heart from this day forward. Be with me. Because right now, I not only call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe. I'm making that commitment to you. Thank you, dear Lord. And give me the strength to live for you this day forward, to commit myself to church, to a small group, but most importantly, to commit myself to you, to begin to read your word, to begin to pray. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for being the bridge. Thank you for accepting me, and I love you now as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, we just give you all the praise in your wondrous, mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the time in our service where we take up our tithes and offerings. It's an act of worship for us here, so I'm going to ask if the ushers will, if you'll grab those baskets and begin to pass those around. If you have a prayer request this morning, please just write that in, and we will pray with you and believe with you for anything that you are believing for. And as I say every Sunday, this act of worship for us is a time where we give and we trust the Lord according to His Word, 2 Corinthians 9:6, that we're believing that He will provide for us and our family. So if the ushers will, if you'll come forward, and I'm going to turn the service over now to John and the worship team as they will close us this morning. God bless everyone.
Well, I brought a song for us to close out this week with, and it was really, I picked this song really far before what happened in Paris on Friday night, as we were all glued to our televisions, watching what was happening there. And it's hard for us to look in this world and see those kind of things happening, and we ask ourselves, where is God in those moments? Many of us do. And we just have to have faith and trust to seek out that still small voice in the midst of the chaos and find God there. That He is there. And as His Word tells us, He will make beauty from ashes. We don't know how. You don't know where, you don't know when, but God will bring beauty from ashes.
All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. Wonder if my life could really change at all. All around, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground?
Thank you.
this week and look for that still small voice and know that God makes beautiful things.